Hi, I'm Susan Evans from SusanEvans.org, and today I am recording a prayer audio about how to hear God. So, do we hear God today? Can we hear God today? And the answer is yes. We hear God through Scripture. We hear God through other believers when God prompts them to say something that might cause us to be convicted of sin. Or be a great encouragement to us. Sometimes other believers speak to me straight from the heart of God, and it's exactly what I needed that day. Sometimes God prompts somebody to call me and tell me something or pray with me at a time when I really need it. And so God prompted them to do that. God also can speak clearly to us individually by guiding us, and it is not an audible voice, and it's always consistent with Scripture. And what happens is God speaks to us with a quiet voice that is confident, and it is selfless. It is always selfless. It never argues or gives reasonings for what it's saying. I'm going to give some contrasts between the enemy's voice or the voice of your flesh or your own ideas in comparison with God's voice, so you can clearly distinguish whether something is from God or not, okay? So I've said the first thing, obviously it has to be scriptural. It doesn't have to be pure Scripture, but it does have to not go against Scripture. It does not have something evil that God would not want you to do, obviously, okay? Secondly, God's voice is selfless. It means that what he's prompting you to do is often something that you do not necessarily want to do. For example, one time I had, I asked God, I said I was really, really tired. And this was back when I had a baby and a toddler. I had just given birth a few weeks previously. And my husband was putting the kids to bed. And he was really exhausted by putting the kids to bed. So anyways, I prayed, Lord, I need more strength, more energy. And I heard clearly, put the kids to bed. And it was as if it was my own mind. It's not a voice that's audible, like I said. It was just very clear. I did not want to do it because it made no sense, okay? I just asked God how to get more energy, and he told me to do more work, okay? So often what God prompts you with is unexpected. It is always selfless. It is sometimes impossible, and it's fabulous if he's asking you to do something impossible. It's fabulous because that means that he will empower you through his Spirit to do it because you cannot do it in your own strength. Okay, so I went ahead and followed through it is consistent with Scripture to be selfless and to take a burden from someone else and to go ahead and put the kids to bed. So I did put the kids to bed. And then as I was coming back up the stairs, somehow I was energized through the Spirit and I had more energy. It was weird. It was like all I had to do was obey. And then God followed through to grant me more energy. And not only that, my husband had more energy because he had been putting the kids to bed, which had been draining him of his energy. And because he was all drained of his energy and exhausted, he was like draining me of my energy because he was so tired. So now that I put the kids to bed, not only did I have more energy, but my husband had more energy, which gave me more energy. So we both had more energy. And only God would know that, okay? So many times I've asked God for wisdom about something and an idea pops into my head. And I'm like, no, you know, I would have never thought of that if I hadn't asked God. And it's not sin, Okay, so I mean, it can't hurt to do the thing that is not sin whatsoever, and it's peaceful, it's not tumultuous or anything. It's focused on the present, it's selfless, and it's a quiet, still voice, okay? So, and then you go ahead and follow through, and then there's peace and joy on the other side. And then plus, you recognize God's voice. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, okay? That's what Jesus says, is that we know his voice, okay? There are some people, however, who God speaks to them or has spoken to them once or something, just like a quiet impression like that. And then it goes to their head and they get all prideful and they get all stuck up and think they're better than other people because they could hear God. And then their own ideas that come to them as a sentence they think is God. And then they go tell everybody God said this and God said that. And so the problem with that is that you must always live your life in humility with your face smashed in the dirt. And, you know, scripture has been given to us by God. It is complete, okay? The canon is complete, the scripture is complete. So there is no new revelation to. Proclaim to everybody some information from God. That is not the case. However, God has prompted me to give a specific person a specific message before, and I have fought. Oh my goodness. A lot of times it's because the person is sinning and God wants me to rebuke them. And I so don't want to do it. I do not, and I give excuses, and oh my goodness, and I do not want to do it. But God, okay, when God speaks, it's just, it stays there, okay? And it doesn't give excuses or anything. It just stays there, okay? It's calm and it's steady and it stays there until you finally. Well, I mean, if you love the Lord, obviously you give in and you say, okay, fine, okay, I'll do it. And you should say yes at the very beginning, but if it's something super hard, and okay, those of you who walk by the Spirit like this will understand what I'm saying. Sometimes, I mean, one time I had to go up to someone who had horrendous sin, okay? God wanted me to rebuke him. And I said, Lord, and I mean, I fought and fought and fought. And I'm like, I'm not going to do it. I don't want to do it. Finally, I said, okay, well, okay, I'll do it, but you better give me the words, okay? And he did. And after all that, his eyes flashed with rage at the man that I was rebuking, and he turned away from the Lord and did not repent. And I'm like, Lord, how could you do this to me? You wanted me to tell this person this information, and why? And God comforted me by showing me Isaiah. Isaiah commanded, I mean, God commanded Isaiah to go proclaim to the people to repent of their sin. And he told Isaiah, at the beginning that the people's minds would be obstinate and that they would not repent. Okay. Well, it would have been nice if God had shown me that he would not repent, because then I could have like buffered myself against the pain of seeing him turn away from God. It was so excruciatingly painful emotionally to me because my heart was invested. So anyways, but sometimes if God prompts you for something, and you follow through, sometimes there is joy. And there is a fulfillment, like the person turns away from their sin and comes to God or whatever, and it's fabulous. Other times, you were supposed to tell them that, and they're accountable before God. And sometimes, like, they go home and then they repent. Or maybe a year later, God brings to mind the words you said a year ago, and then they come to repent, you know? That man did repent at some point. I'm not sure when that was, but I met him years later and he had repented fully. I saw even in his eyes that he was a humble man and he had repented of all that sin. But at that time, he did not. So what I'm saying is, anyways, okay, so God does speak to us in the here and now. He speaks to us through scripture. Sometimes I ask God a question and he answers through a scripture, and it's super cool. I love that. Other times I'm reading God's word and I'm convicted, so it's God speaking to me through that. And other times God speaks like in an impression or something like that. Now, one time I was driving my car. I was alone in my car, and I had been spending a lot of time in the Word of God, and my gray-haired mentor, someone I look up to who's very godly, told me that I was spending too much time in the Word of God, because I was spending like, you know, 2 to 10 hours a day because I was doing this Old Testament class. But my kids, there, I had three kids that were babies and toddlers, and so she felt like I needed to spend a lot more time just sitting with them rather than studying the Word of God or whatever. So I asked the Lord, well, how much time do you want me to spend? I mean, is she right? I don't know. I mean, I love you, Lord. I could just spend time in your word all day long and learn more and more about you. That's all I want to do. And, you know, and so I said, how much time do you want me to spend with you? And I heard clearly, do you love me? I'm like, of course I love you, Lord. Okay, you changed the subject. I asked you, how much time do you want me to spend with you per day? And again, I heard clearly, in like as if it was my own thoughts, except that it was God. I know it was God. Do you love me? And I'm like, of course I love you, Lord. How ridiculous. And I don't understand. You're not answering my question. I said, how much time do you want me to spend, you know, in your word? And again, the third time I heard clearly, do you love me? And I was hurt. I mean, I started having tears coming out of my eyes. And it's like, Lord, why on earth would you ask me this many times if I love you? Of course I love you. And then I heard clearly, feed my sheep. And it hit me that God wanted me to primarily pour the Word of God into my children. And I knew it. I knew that God wanted me to primarily shepherd my children and basically read as much of God's Word to prepare me to pour into the children God's Word. So the whole, okay, he was answering my question. I thought he was changing the subject, and I was like, what on earth? Because it didn't make sense. I knew that it was him, and it was very clear. Plus, oh my goodness, when I got home, I was so excited to go look it up in scripture, because that was scripture, okay? That was Jesus' conversation with Peter, you know, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Feed my sheep, okay? And then I wanted to know every little nuance of that conversation to know, you know, to see anything else that God wants me to do, you know, because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So what was he trying to tell Peter? Because he's obviously telling me the same thing. So anyways, so yes, you can hear God. Everyone, every believer has the Holy Spirit leading him or her in their lives. And so, yes, we can hear God. What are some, okay, I was going to say some of the things that were the enemy's voice. Okay. So how does God's voice differentiate it from the enemy's voice? How do you know it's not just your own thoughts? Okay. And, a lot of charismatics believe that their own voice is God's voice, and they often, say that God said something that he did not say. And in scripture, God commands people to stone those people to death. So we need to be very careful about saying, thus saith the Lord. Never ever say that unless you're absolutely certain that it's God. Now, how do you know that it's God? And actually, even if you know that it's God, you can say it in a humble way so that you're not offending the vast majority of believers who won't listen to you because of the huge amount of heresy on the opposite side, okay? And I'm not bashing charismatics, by the way. I have a lot of godly charismatic friends who walk by the Spirit and are biblical in their belief and their and they love Scripture, the Word of God, and they're not following deception at all, okay? So, but what I'm saying is that they err on the side, a lot of people err on the side of thinking that their own voice is the voice of God. So the enemy's voice uses reasonings or logic to argue with you, to argue. Okay, so if you're arguing, like logically coming up with reasons that you should do something, like if the voice is giving excuses for itself, that is not God. Because God will say, like, put the kids to bed. And then that one sentence, put the kids to bed, it just stays there. It doesn't defend itself or anything. I can kick and scream as much as I want. And then finally I go, okay, fine, I'll do it. But see, it didn't budge. Okay. Other times when I have, when I've either had my own idea or the enemy, okay, there's this one time that I wrote an email and I felt tumultuous. Okay, God is not a God of tumultuous upheaval, turmoil. No, God is a God of peace. So if you have all this tumultuous upheaval, then wait, get on your knees, go before God and pray. The enemy is forceful. He gives orders. It's urgent, okay? I felt that there was an urgency that I had to do something that very moment, but I had not prayed about it. There were lots of logical things of why I should do it, more and more and more logical reasons why I should do it. Okay, there are no logical reasons of put the kids to bed. There were no logical reasons. There was nothing to defend itself. I knew it was God. It just was there with peace. Whereas there was selfish gain to be had for the enemy's voice. It feels good. It appeals to the flesh. It sounds reasonable to you. It defends itself. It works with what we already presuppose. There's no peace. It's motivated. A lot of times it's motivated by fear, like what other people think of you, what they might think of you. If that ever comes into the picture, it is not God. God does not care what everybody else thinks of you. He does not. It's up to him, actually. It's funny. He humbles and he brings high. Just one day to the next, I have had like people just hold me in honor, and or one day to the next, I'm humiliated and everybody thinks I'm a piece of dirt. Okay, so God can like totally do the opposite of whatever you are right now with, you know, just a snap of your fingers. So you do not control what other people think of you. You do what is right before God. Okay. You obey God and then you have peace with God, and it doesn't matter if people make up stuff about you. You do what's right, you know? Fear of man brings a snare, the book of Proverbs says. So if you are worried about what other people think about you, you will never be walking by the Spirit. God rules, not other people. Do not bow down and worship other people and what they think about you. Bow down and worship God alone. Okay, because he is God. The enemy's voice is focused on the past or the future, whereas God is focused on the present and what you need to do today. Okay, so the enemy's voice is focused on the past and condemning you for past sin or bringing up what somebody else said so that you think slanderous thoughts about other people, so that you'll gossip or do act in an unbecoming way towards them. Or it's focused on the future and worrying about the future, which you cannot control. God is in complete control of it, okay? So that's clearly, distinctively, the difference between God's voice and the enemy's voice, or your flesh, okay? So now that we've differentiated those two, how do you hear God? Now, you can learn how to listen. Hearing God must be vital to you. You need to really, really care about hearing from God. In other words, okay, in a crisis, when you are completely dependent upon the Lord, when you cry out to God with 100% of your being, then God shows up. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. It does. Okay, the reason when people pray that they might know God better, or that they would have patience or all this stuff, and then bad things happen, it's because we are so stubborn that nothing except for really hideous things will cause us to throw ourselves with 100% of our beings upon God. Okay, you don't have to have bad things happen to you to throw yourself 100% of your being on God, okay? I know, and my sister knows, my best friend knows, lots. I know lots of people who walk by the Spirit who throw themselves with 100% of their being upon God, just in a normal, ordinary day. Yawn. Normal, ordinary day. You throw yourself completely with 100% of your being on God, like you mean it. And God shows up. You can listen to him. He can guide you as to what to do every day. Yes. Okay. But it needs to be vital to you. I was just reading a sermon by Spurgeon with my husband the other night. And in one of his sermons about prayer, he said that, how would you feel if somebody walked up to you and asked you a request, and they didn't even mean it very much? You know, they were just lukewarm and half-hearted about what they were asking you for. Let's just say somebody's asking me for a hair dryer, okay, but they don't think, they don't know if they really want the hair dryer, because they can dry their hair, they can air dry their hair, but they would like to borrow the hair dryer. So they're asking for the hair dryer, but they don't want to do any work to come by your house and get the hair dryer. And so they're just lukewarm about the whole thing. And you're just like, okay, don't even mention it unless you're asking me. If you want to ask me, if not, just be quiet. It's like people ask God, oh, you know, help me overcome my anger. But they don't really mean it. They're like, yeah, well, my anger's going to always be there anyway. So I don't even know why I'm asking. Well, if you're lukewarm and half-hearted, God will not hear you. Okay? And you will not hear God. Okay? So you have to want it with 100% of your being. And you can do that. Want it. And if you don't want it, ask God to help you want it. It's like, you know, help me in my unbelief. Remember that guy that was asking Jesus? And he said, you don't believe? And he says, well, please help me in my unbelief. What a sweet, sweet prayer that is. Help me in my unbelief, okay? Another way that we can learn to listen to God is to believe God's promises and act on them. For example, in the book of James chapter 1, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all men without reproach, and it will be given him. Okay, so scripture says that if you ask God for wisdom, he will give it to you. 100% certain, he will give it to you. Why can't you hear God? Well, because you have unbelief. The very next verses say, but let him ask in faith with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. Let him not to expect to receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So he will not receive anything. He will not hear God. Nothing. Okay, so just understand that God's word is so sure that you can jump up and down on it like concrete. It will not budge. It will always come to pass. Okay? I promise you that is true. I have tried and tested the word of God so many ways, and it is true, true, true to the core. Okay? So anyways, you must believe God's promises if you are going to listen to God, if you're training yourself to how to listen to God. If God prompts you to do something, you must respond positively to what God is prompting you to do. Matthew 13:12 says, "For whoever has, to him more shall be given." So if you respond positively to something God prompts you to do, more shall be given you, and he will speak to you more. If you do not listen to him and you disregard him, then he's not going to speak to you anymore. It's just like my husband, early on in our marriage, he said that I wouldn't listen to him. And so why would he go to the trouble of saying something if I wasn't going to listen? Okay. And see, so that's true in marriages. It's not that way now, by the way. My husband and I are really, really close. But he's right. And in a lot of marriages, it's like that. The husband doesn't listen to the wife and the wife doesn't listen to the husband because they each have their own agenda. But that's a whole nother topic on marriage. But anyway, you need to respond positively to what God prompts you to do so that he will continue to have a conversation with you. You also need to have an undivided heart, which means single-mindedness. Psalm 86:11 says, "Teach me your way, Lord, that I may rely on your faithfulness. Give me an undivided heart, that I may fear your name." And Ezekiel 11:19 says, "I will give them an undivided heart and put a new spirit in them. I will remove from them their heart of stone and give them a heart of flesh." And Jeremiah 29:13 says, you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Okay, so you will seek me and find me if you look with all your heart. And this goes back to Deuteronomy, and it's quoted by Jesus, the first commandment and the second commandment. Okay, so what do all the commandments boil down to? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind. Okay, that's the number one thing. And none of us does it. Okay, I mean, very, very few people actually love God with all. And those who do can hear God. Okay, 100% of Christians can hear God if they're actually obeying that, to love God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. You must also have a pure heart. You need to get rid of sin actively. Don't live in open rebellion to God. Scripture that you know is true, okay, do not go against that. If you are having sex out of wedlock, you will never hear God because you're walking in open defiance to the commands of God already that blocks you. So any prayers that you say will not be heard by God whatsoever, okay? That is, for example, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. If you have sin that is unconfessed, that is blatant sin that you know you are committing and don't care, you have no communion with God. So you might as well not waste your time in pretending to pray because you don't care about holiness. Okay, God is holy. So the only way to commune with God is to get rid of your sin and ask him to become holy. Okay, and God can make you holy, and he can cleanse you and forgive you your sin. He forgives. Oh my goodness. Oh, that's his name. Like when he passed before Moses, "My name is gracious and loving kindness and, you know, mercy," and all this just beautiful forgiving, you know, one generation to the next. It's just crazy, incredible how he forgives. Okay. So just repent of your sin. That means turn away from it. Okay. and follow God and you will have a lot more joy. Hebrews 10, 26 and 27. If there's an area in your life that you've not given over to him, you will not be able to hear him, basically. Okay? That's what that the verse is saying. So ask God to show you what the root of your sin is and beg God to cleanse us of it. Matthew 5, 8 says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Okay? So you need a pure heart in order to hear God. Always confess your sin before praying. That should be number one. Before doing any prayer, the first thing you should do is make sure your heart is right with God. Okay? Also give God your full attention. Don't be distracted. Okay? Intimacy can't be rushed. Rest in God's presence. Okay? Rest in God's presence. Open yourself up to God alone, to God. Set your mind on Christ and rest. And he often speaks to me when I do that. Things that I had no idea, like he raises the subject. Or I chew on something, like some deep spiritual truth that I've read in scripture or something, and I'm chewing on it and thinking about it. Or a sermon like by Spurgeon or something that I've just read, and I'm thinking about the truth about what he's saying, and so I'm chewing on it, and then God speaks to me through that. I'm asking for wisdom or whatever. Okay, so give God your full attention and rest in his presence. Don't have presumption. If you think you already know what God's going to say, your ears are plugged. Expect the unexpected. Okay? God never ceases to amaze me. God never ceases to surprise me. He really does surprise me. Okay, all the time. He surprises me by what he says. So I totally go, okay, outside the box. Don't think inside the box, because your mind is not like God's mind. My ways are not your ways. You know, as far as the heavens are above the earth is how far God's mind and our minds are. It's like nothing. No, nothing similar, hardly. Also, pretension. If you're pretending to be someone you're not, this blocks you from hearing God because of hypocrisy. The Pharisees got sharply rebuked by Jesus because of this. If you care more about how you appear to others than your true, honest relationship with God, that you will not hear God. You need to be honest with God in prayer. When you're honest, okay, that includes anger towards God. Okay, Job, he raged at God, and God said at the end of that Job had not sinned. Okay, so he expressed all of his angst in God's direction. He poured it all out, all that emotion in God's direction. Just poured it all out. God can handle it. Oh my goodness, God is so mature. He is so mature. He can handle all of that, okay? So, always be honest with God. Just bluntly honest. Our deep emotions sometimes block us from hearing God. Anger, worry, fear, bitterness, any of these things. Sometimes hormones can block us from hearing God because we feel so depressed or so, like we're so worried about something or whatever, and it's impossible to hear God when you're so consumed by your emotion, or if you're furious, if you're furiously angry about something, okay, that emotion a lot of times might block you from hearing God. So you need to become silent internally to hear God. So take a deep breath. You know, don't make a major decision until after you have prayed. And a lot of times it's better to sleep on it and wake up the next day, especially if a decision's being made. You will have more wisdom. You will hear God better if that tumultuous emotion is gone. I've often had someone pray for me if I can't get rid of it myself. Someone prays for me and then the fog lifts and I can think more clearly. So, and always you need to know the difference between God's voice and the enemy's voice, so that you differentiate between the two and make sure that you are always following God, and taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, so that you can always walk by His Spirit. Okay, so this that's the end of this audio, Hearing God. I'm Susan Evans from SusanEvans.org. Thanks for listening to this audio.